Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This Advent season, we've been talking about some great words and promises. The first Sunday of Advent, we talked about peace, and that the only way that peace on earth is achieved is when it starts with us, and we need to be at peace with ourselves and our neighbors and our friends and our family. Second week, we talked about hope, that we as a church need to be purveyors or peddlers of hope to a lost and dying world. The third thing we need to be about, which I would say is the most difficult thing, is patience. Somebody just touched a family member about that. I wonder what that's all about. Patience. Now, we think of patience as we're standing on line sometime and we're fuming because the line is going too slow. But that's not the kind of patience I'm going to talk about. When James wrote his epistle, he wrote to a church that was poor, a church that was struggling, a church that was hoping that God would come, that Jesus was going to come in their generation and make everything right. A church that was hurting. And he spoke about rich people, and he wasn't too flattering about them, but then he turned his attention to the people who were waiting for God and waiting for the promise to come, and they didn't see much promise in their lives. And he said, "You must be patient." And I'm sure that's the last thing they wanted to hear. It's the last thing we want to hear when we're struggling with something is to be patient. And we think of patience as a passive waiting. But if you read the book of James, he's never talking about sitting idly by and doing nothing. The book of James, the big treatise in James, is faith without works is dead. And so when he's talking about patience, he's talking about keeping faithful, doing what we need to do until things change. That's very difficult, isn't it? The one who taught me about patience was my father. Now, having five children, you either need to be patient or catatonic. Sometimes he was both. But he demonstrated extreme patience with me. When I was a little one, he had to teach me how to tie my shoes. Now, that was the day before Velcro. Now, even today, I have problems. If people have seen me put on my robe, I've been doing it for 28 years, I still can't do it right. And one lady in my former church took pity and made my belt Velcro because I couldn't deal with the buttons. So this man is trying to teach me how to tie my shoes, which is a very important task for little ones that don't have Velcro. And I tried, and I failed. Weeks went by. He would tie them in the morning. Dad would work all night. He'd come in. He'd teach me how to tie my shoes. He'd tie them for me. I'd go to school. If they were untied, my little friends would have to tie them back for me because I couldn't do it. Sometimes I would get close and he'd have to undo all the knots that I put in my shoes. Now, a few weeks went by, and I'm sure all of us would have been patient. It took me 2 years to learn how to tie my shoes. I didn't learn till I was in second grade, and if you talk to my husband, he'd say, I still have problems that way. And in that 2 years, the man never stopped patiently showing me how to do it. Every day, he would patiently walk me through it and untie the little knots I made. Never once did he say, do it yourself, I showed you already. Never once did he yell. Never once did he stomp away in frustration. And when I finally got it, we celebrated. He not only taught me about patience with my own circumstances, he taught me what God is like, because that's how God is with us. Sometimes we are awfully slow learners, and we make the same mistakes over and over again and tie ourselves in knots. And God is infinitely patient with us. And so we need to be patient with ourselves and with each other and with God. Sometimes God disappoints us. I think of John the Baptist when he's thrown in prison for doing the right thing. And in prison, he hears all about his cousin Jesus and how wonderful this is. But I'm sure doubts arose because he thought that Jesus was going to come and he was going to take charge and make everything right and rain judgment down. And as John languished in prison, he asked, "Are you the one? You're not doing it the way I thought you were going to do it." And Jesus said, "Blessed is the one who doesn't take offense in me." With infinite patience, God deals with us. And even when God seems to be far away and not doing what we want him to do, he loves us. He cherishes us each and every moment. And if God can do that for us, might we not be patient with each other? Patience means that we continue to do the work of God. We continue to love. We continue to care. We continue to do those things which make for peace. We continue to shower people with love, even when they do not reciprocate. And we wait in patience for God to turn things around. Can you wait today for the love and the mercy of God? James told his people, the farmer doesn't go out and keep digging up the seed to see if it's growing. He waits and he keeps working. And that's what he asked the Church of Jesus Christ to do. Even when things don't look good, we continue to live in that understanding and in patience. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the patience of Amanda as she waited for 9 months for Cana to come into her life. I thank you for the patience of these parents as each and every day they deal with their children and look on them with love. And I ask that you would help them as Cana grows to instill in her that kind of patient waiting and love. And I ask that you would instill in us all that tenacity of spirit that will not let go of you, will not give up on each other until we see you face to face. That is our hope and prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.